Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Good morning,
Vietnam.
Welcome. Oh, man, RIP.
RIP.
I don't know why we say RIP, because there's no real resting. Like, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Or, you know.
Yeah, that just got even more depressing. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Steve-O. Just, you know, Jesus juke. And that, my friends, again, once again, that's another example of a Jesus juke. Okay, I have to show you this. It's called Marvel's Contest of Champions.
Yeah, I play that.
You play that one too?
I don't like it because I think the superheroes look lame and cartoony, whereas in Justice Gods Among Us, they look awesome and mean.
Yeah. All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live, 1 hour call-in show centered around you or cool apps that we're playing right now, like WWE Immortals.
Dude, Injustice Gods Among Us is way cooler.
No, dude, because it's the newer version.
My Doomsday character is freaking awesome.
I need to show you my Injustice characters.
I really enjoy the Weather Channel app.
Get out of here, nerd.
I enjoy knowing the barometric pressure levels and when they change.
My Rock character, look, it's the exact same game.
Yeah.
The exact same game.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool, man.
Guys,
it's cool.
We already...
It literally is. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Look at that phone over there.
We got a phone call. Someone's calling like, hey, I like Injustice too.
Line one has a question about Messianic
Jews. Did you like Temple Run?
Temple? No, I didn't play
Speaking
that.
Speaking of Messianic Jews... No? Okay, it was like a runner.
Okay, we got two phone calls. Look at that. We start talking about cool apps, and all of a sudden people want to be serious.
Spider-Man Unlimited. It's basically just a runner game, where you're just like kind of
running.
What about,
do you play the Batman Arkham Origins?
I did play that one.
That one's
fun. I played that one for a while. Brody still plays that one.
Does he?
Yeah.
Brody.
I'm serious.
Brody. I can't picture Brody playing the game.
He
just does this.
He knows what he's doing on that iPad.
Yeah, he really does.
He plays
actually.
Flappy Bird.
I bruised my knuckle the other day though because I was playing the game and I lost and I got mad and I punched the table really hard and I think I broke a little piece of my knuckle off.
That's
because
good.
It hurt really
That's
bad
good.
And it like got all bruised immediately looking bad.
It's a reminder that's why scripture talks about removing anger. Like there must not even be, you know, like any of that within us because, you know, you bruise your knuckles when you're playing stupid app games that are really freaking hard.
Dude.
So hard, right?
I get so mad. This is the thing. I don't get mad when I'm playing like the regular quest storyline, but when I'm doing the online battles and I work through like a 7-battle battle.
Right!
And I get to the last battle and they've got some stupid character who when you get them below like 10%, they swap health with you. And you're like, that's not fair.
That's not fair at all.
That's not fair.
I always hated Doomsday because you'd kill him and then he'd be like, psych!
See, that's who I use, Doomsday.
You guys heard?
Dude, I've got Doomsday and I've got 4 pieces of gear card that boost my damage. So each hit, each just basic hit, does like 6k damage.
Are you
Doomsday.
Serious?
Have you heard like the supposed origin for Doomsday in Batman versus Superman?
No. Is he gonna be in Batman versus Superman?
Supposedly. Oh, I don't wanna hear this.
I wanna hear it.
Here's the rumor. The rumor is that Lex Luthor somehow recovers General Zod's body and Doomsday as a result of experimentation.
Oh,
that is awesome.
That's a really good idea.
It's a really good idea.
That's a pretty good rewrite.
Please do
it
that.
It really is. Yeah. When I read that, I was like, Doomsday makes sense now. That's cool.
Yeah. And right when that happened, all the comic book writers were like, facepalm. Why didn't you think of that?
And so here's the deal. I was telling Nate off air that Marvel acquired the film rights to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They're sharing
them. So here's the deal. Batman versus Superman comes out in April.
Mm-hmm.
And then in May, Captain America Civil War, which is going to have Captain America and Iron Man in it, comes out. And now the rumor is that's when Spider-Man's coming in.
Yep.
Wow. And in other news, I was at Disneyland, and Mickey built a giant golden statue of himself and made everybody bow down and worship
him.
Hey,
you know what? But it's only 3 times a day, so I was able because it was like, oh, well, you know, if we do this, they give us the fast pass. So
I was like, look, I just want to eat salad. I don't want to eat the meat sacrificed to Mickey. And he was like, I'm throwing you inside the freaking furnace that's actually hidden inside Thunder Mountain.
Oh, see, in Disney World, it's hidden in Snow White's Scary Ride.
Ah, that's good.
Or actually, technically, I guess it's in Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Dude, that's just too much, bro.
Mickey's like, I'm putting you indefinitely on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
We took our kids on that. Yeah. Bad decision.
Really bad.
Yeah. Pretty much all the kiddie rides are not good.
Right. Instead, take them on Pirates and the Haunted Mansion. They can handle those.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Brody, too.
Actually, Haunted Mansion was still... I went on that, I was like, I forgot how evil this ride was.
That's my favorite ride.
The floating witch head reading tarot cards.
Dude, okay, we got those in Mississippi everywhere, man.
To be fair, she's not a witch. That's Madam...
Madam Mim. It's not Madam Mim.
We have phone lines. They're jammed.
Yes.
It's Shock Therapy Live. We only talk about serious things here, like great apps and favorite rides on Disneyland. Also, Messianic Judaism. What's up with that? Static!
What up, guys? How are you?
What's up?
Good.
Your conversation is cracking me up over here while I'm driving.
Good. That's what we're here for. And to answer serious questions.
Yes.
Hey, so, okay. Let me just kind of give you guys some thoughts on this. Obviously, I know what the, I guess, for lack of better terms, what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a family member, a couple of them, who got saved a couple of years ago. They were in the church. They went to a few different churches here in town, including the one that I go to. And then, like, one of them, the brother moved away, and the sister was still here. The brother moved away down south, southern New Mexico. And, excuse me, I apologize. The next thing I know, or I hear, is that they are, like, following, like, the feast, and, keeping the feast, and doing all this other stuff that, you know, Jewish people did in the Old Testament. So I was like, okay, whatever. So a couple weeks ago, our grandmother ended up in the hospital. So we were all at the hospital, and I go in there, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to pray for her, so anybody who doesn't believe needs to get out of the room, because I don't need any unbelief right now. I'm going to pray for her and believe God for good things for her. So my cousin was there, and she walked out. And I was like, I thought to myself, that's kind of strange. So anyway, I went ahead and prayed, and I walked out into the lobby, and she was there. And I was like, hey, and she was wearing one of those, I don't know what the technical term, but one of those things on her head. Not like a turban, but almost like a shawl, I guess. I don't know.
A yarmulke?
There you go. Yeah, a yarmulke. Right.
The little round hat.
Yes.
No. It's the thing that women wear to cover their hair.
Bonnet.
Whatever.
Handkerchief.
Look like a do-rag. I mean, we're all Mexicans. It's like she's in a gang. What the heck? So, anyway, we're standing out there, and I asked her, like, hey, what's that? I kind of sarcastically. I was like, what's that thing on your head? Is it protected from the rain?
And she said, I can't stand the rain.
She was like, something like that. So, yeah, I said, seriously, what is this that you're doing now? And she's like, well, you know, she named the church that she's going to, and of course I don't want to say it right now. But she's like, you know, I'm a messianic believer, is what she said. And
cool.
And so we started talking, and I said, well, can I ask why you do that? I said, because, and I just went to, I just, very kind, I went to Galatians chapter 3, and I was like, you know, Jesus basically fulfilled, you know, the Bible, Paul talks about what the law couldn't do, God did. You know, we were under the curse of the law, and then Jesus came, and now we're under grace. So I'm not understanding why you really feel like you're having to practice this. I'm not saying, and I wanted to be clear, I'm not saying that you're going to go to hell for practicing this or anything like that. My question is, why would you want to put yourself under this kind of bondage again to feel like if you miss something that you're going to feel guilty or something like this? And I said, and secondly, I said, you can never really be Jewish. I said, we're not born that way. I said, so help me to understand why. And then, you know, she got kind of defensive, you know, what does it matter to you what I do with my life, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, whatever, you know. So I wanted to kind of get your guys' thoughts on it and what you think. Obviously, like I said, what the Bible says about being under the curse of the law and all that stuff. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny, you referenced one of the scripture verses that I would have used. And again, like you said, this is the big thing is that Messianic Jews are believers. But by and large, Messianic Judaism is, and this is why we talked about this last week, I think, even, or was it the week before? It was one of the weeks.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Messianic Judaism. And Messianic Judaism specifically is for people who were born Jews and practiced Judaism and then got saved, and they are now Messianic Jews, by Jews by birth, Messianic Christian by belief and trust in Jesus Christ. And it's weird to me, American Christians have this weird affinity, and they're drawn to the Jewish cultures and customs. And it's so funny, we'll do tours to Israel, and you'll see, you know, these white dudes walking around with yarmulkes on their heads, and it's like, you realize that, I mean, and like, people on our tour, they'll buy them, and it's funny, and we're not like, hey, don't buy that, that's weird, but at the same time, you've got a bunch of Christians from Albuquerque, New Mexico, walking around with yarmulkes, and you're like, you realize that's not just a style choice, right? They do that specifically because of their beliefs. It's not just like, hey, let's put on a small hat, that looks cool. You know, so it's just funny, though. We have this affinity and this, we're drawn to this culture, and it's awesome because they are God's chosen people. But they're God's chosen people. We can't, like, graft ourselves into being a part of God's chosen people and say, oh, I'm a Jew, too.
Right.
No. That's not how that works.
We are Gentiles by birth.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's a funny cultural custom, and it's a cultural custom that you don't see in the Bible. You don't see Gentiles getting saved and saying, you know what, I'm going to practice all those feasts and stuff now.
I want them curly cues on my
And now, again, there's nothing wrong with doing those feasts unless you believe that you have to do those things in order to maintain your relationship with Christ.
Absolutely.
You know, we've done
Seder dinners.
Done here at Calvary Seder dinners. We've done Passover dinners before. When I go to Israel, we'll celebrate the Passover. And it means something different to us because we understand that the lamb who was slain was Jesus Christ. And it means something different, but we don't believe that that's something we have to do in order to maintain salvation.
Right.
And that's the issue, is when you believe and you get to a place where you believe, just like Paul talked about feasts and esteeming other days higher than others, that's not what saves you. And you know, the feasts and the festivals and all those things isn't part of the salvation process.
Right.
And so that's the big thing, is it's okay to celebrate that kind of stuff, sure. But if you believe that you need to do that to get saved, that's the issue. It'd be like saying, you know, I'm going to celebrate Christmas and I've got to do it, otherwise I'm going to lose my salvation. You know, it's just, that's where it gets a little weird.
Absolutely.
Or bringing up Galatians chapter 3 in that.
What?
What was that?
Do you think I was wrong? Because in no way did I want to make it seem like she was wrong, but do you think that I was wrong in bringing up Galatians chapter 3? And I actually read it to her because, you know, I wasn't sure if she knew what it said, and I don't want to be like, well, you know what Galatians chapter 3 says, right? You know, and I read it to her. And so I was like, again, and then when I read it to her, she made a comment that, oh, well, you know, when I first got saved, I just didn't feel like I had enough, like, enough of God. She made like a comment like that, and there were so many directions I could have taken that, and I didn't. You know, I kind of left it.
Yeah, and you know, this is what I would say, because I hear what you're saying, and this is what I think. I don't think it's, and this is ultimately the question that I would ask someone like that. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he came to this earth, that he lived a perfect life, that he died for your sins, that he rose again, and that there is salvation through no other name than Jesus? If the answers to those questions are yes, then I think that it's not worth sacrificing relationship to be right on certain points of doctrine. Again, we believe that Messianic Jews are saved. And so, you know, with when it comes to a situation like that, I think Christians a lot of times spend too much time disagreeing with other Christians instead of actually going out and trying to affect the unbelieving world and bring unbelievers to Christ. And so with that, I would say, you know, is your cousin still a believer in Jesus Christ? And if she still believes in the basic tenets of the Christian faith, the pillars of the Christian faith, the essentials, then I wouldn't spend your time trying to convince her of your non-essential beliefs. Because again, that's not going to determine salvation. And it's better to maintain a relationship with that person. And say, look, you know, that's fine. I just want to make sure you're going to heaven. That's the big thing for me. If you're going to heaven, you can celebrate whatever feast you want to. You can wear whatever you want to on your head. I don't care. I'll wear an angel's cap. You can wear,
you know,
a keffiyeh, whatever you want to do. But I think that, you know, it really comes down to those essentials in the Christian faith.
Like 7 days till pitchers and catchers report. Exactly. All right.
All right.
Does that help?
Does that help you out, man? Good.
It did. Cool. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
Dude, I enjoyed it. We took part in a Seder dinner once, and I absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it, from the regard that, for the same way that, like, people when they go to the Holy Land,
Yeah.
Because it drew more out for me. I understood better the purpose behind
certain
things.
Gives you more context.
Things. And yeah, and it was like, okay, I get this. I have a deeper understanding of it. I don't need to do this all the time. But it was cool to take part in it once so that I could go, right on. I really enjoyed it. I thought
totally.
It was great. I don't do it all the time because, well, it's like once a year, right?
Yeah. It's so funny that, you know, he is right, you know, in the sense that a lot of these things is putting ourselves back under the law.
It really is.
But like I said to him, just as much as that drives me nuts, it also drives me nuts when Christians feel it's their job to persuade anybody's
right.
views who don't line up exactly with theirs and
yeah.
make them think the same way they do.
Yeah.
Again, if they're believers, that there's no reason to try to. It's the same thing with Seventh-day Adventists. You know, a lot of Christians get so up in arms when a Seventh-day Adventist says, I've got to celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday, and you guys are wrong for celebrating on Sunday. And some Christians get so up in arms, they feel like they have to change their view and give them every scripture reference for why what they believe is not true.
Right.
And it really comes down to this. Like, look, if you want to worship God on Saturday, awesome. That's fantastic. I'm not going to get mad at you for worshiping God on Saturday.
Right. Right.
You know, as long as you're worshiping God, as long as you love Jesus Christ and have a relationship with Him, that's all I care about.
Dude, amazing. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to be part of the conversation. You can also send us an email, studio@MyStaticRadio.com if you'd like to keep it anonymous. I know we got a couple this morning, but let's go to the phone lines. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Looks like we got a question about heaven and hell. Hello.
Yeah, hello, man. Yeah, I had a question regarding heaven and hell. Like, as far as me and a buddy of mine were talking the other day, and we were, you know, kind of going over the Bible, like in Revelation. He was like, yeah, dude, you know, you're going to have to get, like, the mark of the beast, bro, if you want to buy or sell. And I'm kind of like, that's not. Like, yeah, okay, it says that in there. But my question is kind of like, well, if it says in the Bible that you can only go, like, no one can enter into the Father's kingdom but by the Son, or it says you have to know Jesus, so technically if you get saved, you're not technically going to heaven if you're not living right after that. But I guess my question is, like, okay, well, if that time comes that you have to accept the mark of the beast to buy, sell, or trade, or they'll kill you, do you go to heaven if you don't? Because you automatically go to hell if you do get the mark. So if you don't, but you're also, you know, kind of living the way you want, I guess.
So what you're saying is, in this post-apocalyptic society, you have a dreadful fear of microchips, and you're like, I'm not microchipping myself, but you're not believing in Jesus, and then they're like, cool, man, and they kill you. Where are you going to go in this hypothetical, weird sci-fi universe?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Glad we cleared it up.
No, I just wanted to know, like, if there's really no... If it's already, everything's already foretold, and if you don't accept it, you go to heaven even though you aren't living the way God's standard.
Well, what you're asking here really goes into more even than what you think it does, because it really goes into this idea of pre-trib or post-trib rapture.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my theological beliefs and my theological views, and this would be similar to my dad's and what Calvary Albuquerque holds, would be a pre-tribulation rapture, where the Christians would be raptured and would be in heaven before the mark of the beast is implemented, before the tribulation begins to happen. Now, if that's the case, those who are left behind will be those who did not believe. Now, it says that during that time, during this tribulation, some will come to know Christ. So, by and large, what it's really referring to here is that the mark of the beast is going to happen, and a lot of people are going to get it, most people are going to get it, but some who believe are not going to get it. Now, again, the only reason that you would not get it in this scenario would be because you have a belief in Jesus Christ. Because if you think about it, even if you've got a fear of microchips, if the government comes up and says, hey, we're going to shoot you in the head unless you get this implanted in you, you're probably going to say, okay, I'm a little more scared of getting shot in the head than getting a microchip put in my arm.
Right.
So again, you know, you're talking about a lot of hypotheticals there, but the only reason you would go to heaven is because you believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't going to be like, oh, hey, you know, you didn't believe in me all your life, but you refused that microchip, so come on in. It's not going to work like that. Again, right. What you're asking here really goes into a lot more in the belief of Revelation, in pre-trib, post-trib rapture. And realistically, this is probably a question better suited for Theology Thursday.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think this would be something that would be really good to talk about with Brian and Jarrett.
Yeah.
But does that help at all a little bit?
Yeah, it does. I guess I just didn't know how to answer. Like you know, when we're talking, it was just kind of like, dude, I have no idea, dude. Like, because I guess the point was like, well, if it doesn't matter if you take it or not, and I choose to live the way I want, what does it matter if I can get it or not? Because if either way, if it's like, if you're not living to a certain standard, you're going to hell. What does it matter if you live a certain way or not in this world regardless?
Hmm. So you were talking with a friend who isn't a believer about this, or?
That.
Like, he's, like, in and out, dude. Like he believes there's a God. He just also believes that. He's like, dude, as long as, you know, if I'm not robbing people and committing crimes and, like, if I have good morals and I'm not, you know, hurting anyone, what's the point of why should I have to, you know, why not live my life my own way?
Hmm.
As long as I'm not hurting anyone. So I kind of think, like, okay, well, you got a point there, but it's also kind of like you do got to know Jesus. Somehow, he believes there's a God, he just doesn't believe he's a God.
This is why that's a faulty way of thinking. Because when you take it to that place, you're saying that each individual is the one who determines what right and wrong is.
Right.
And what sin is harmful and what sin is not harmful.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you place yourself in the position of God. And the reason why we believe that sin and salvation is such a stark reality and such a stark contrast is because we believe what the Bible says and what God says is right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And so if God says this is wrong, no human being can say, well, maybe that's wrong for some people, God, but that's not wrong for me. And right. So I can do that and still go to heaven. That's not the case. You know, the Bible clearly states what is sin and what is not sin. And we can either take it and believe in that entirely, or we can toss it out the window. We don't get the option to pick and choose.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible talks about as a lukewarm Christian. And so you've got to take it in its entirety. And so what God says is right is right. Morality, right and wrong, has to come from a higher power. It can't come from each individual choosing to believe in what they want to believe and to believe what is right and wrong is right and wrong for them. Because then you get to a place where you're in a very amoral society, and some people say, look, I can murder because it's not wrong to me. It might be wrong to society, but it's not wrong to me. And so that's the big issue, is you get into a place where morality really goes out the window when you start having that kind of a thinking.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah,
hey,
man.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, dude, that's my book. That's cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. We got a couple email questions. If you would like to ask a question, I know that Shock Therapy Live is a little more sensitive, so we definitely respect your anonymity.
Yeah,
gosh.
You got this, man.
It's anonymous. So
no.
Anonymity. Gosh. Someday.
Here's the email. Hey, y'all. Mateo voice, please. My husband and I have a married couple as friends. We've been friends with them since before we were true believers. However, they aren't believers. One is straight up atheist and the other has slowly been coming to the faith. Slowly, so she hasn't been saved yet. Is that really relevant? Gotta start somewhere. Anyways, they've been having a lot of marriage issues and have recently separated and decided to divorce. Mm. The root of their problem is that they're both admittedly selfish. They don't want to give the other time or emotional support, and also they have zero communication. We're having a really hard time talking to them. They've both spoken to me about their problems at separate times, and he's spoken to my husband, but really, we don't have any advice or guidance to give that isn't straight from the Word. Anytime we've brought things up from the Bible, they get extremely offended and they go on the defense. We haven't been preachy or anything, just mostly listening. But I'm personally at a point where I don't want to hear about their marriage woes anymore because they've told me they have no plans on any change within. How do I go about telling them I can't offer advice that's secular? Our life isn't based off of secular things anymore. I feel like this is a make or break in our friendship.
Man.
You know, I think to a certain point, they're right. And what I would say is what Calvary says. When people come in for counseling, we let people know, look, the counsel that we're going to give you is counsel from the Bible.
Right.
We're going to give you biblical, Christ-based counseling. If you don't believe in that, then the counseling isn't going to be effective. And so, you know, when someone asks for your advice, you can say, look, the advice that I'm going to give you is rooted and grounded in the Bible. Is that okay? If it's not okay, then there's no advice that I can give you because, again, in a Christian worldview, everything is graded by and everything is put under our belief in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if that premise isn't believed in from the get-go, then she's right. Then there really is no there's nothing that you can say that can help them because, again, the Christian worldview is so opposite from what the world says. You know, the world is very self-seeking, very self-serving, and Christianity is the exact opposite. And in marriage, there's a huge difference there. You know, in a marriage to say that, look, you've got to lay your life down. You've got to even to say something like you've got to love your bride like Christ loves the church. That's a foreign concept to a non-believer. They don't understand that, yeah. That idea. And so, you know, I think that she's right. I would say, I would sit down with her and let her know, look, I'd love to help you guys with your marriage, but the only way I know how to do that is by referencing what the Bible says. If you guys don't want to hear that, then there's no point to talk about your marriage because that's the only way I know how to help you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe say, look, if you want marriage counseling outside of what the Bible says, go to a marriage counselor, a secular marriage counselor. But I don't know how to help you unless I reference the Bible. I think it's perfectly fine saying that.
Now, at the end of the email, they state that this is a make or break situation for their friendship. What would you say to that?
I would say that's only in reference to if the other person wants to call it quits. If the other person says, okay. Look, I don't want to be your friend if you're not willing to talk to me about that, say, okay, that's fine.
Right.
You know, I don't think you need to end the friendship.
Cool.
But if they decide to end the friendship because you can't give them marriage counseling apart from what the Bible says, that's their decision. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that you have to say, look, listen to what the Bible says or I'm not going to be your friend.
Yeah, so. No, absolutely. All right. Thanks for the email question. Studio@mystaticradio.com is the email address. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. If you'd like to chime in, you can also give us a call, 505-338-3700. Maybe one of these questions has sparked a question in you, or maybe you just want some clarification on something. We'd love to talk to you. 338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. What do we got?
Anonymous question. I recently got married within the last year. Lately, I've been struggling with having compassion for my wife. She's been having a hard time with some things related to work and friends, and I've had a really hard time knowing how to relate. I'm not an emotionalist guy by any means, but I'm certainly struggling with how to relate and love my wife well through this. I could really use some gospel-saturated advice. Thanks, fellas.
Dude, nice. Welcome to marriage. I think that this is so funny. We just had our Connect group this week and we talked about it because the message this week was Jesus loves the broken. We were talking about compassion. We were talking about emoting and feeling for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think guys have a hard time doing this because by and large, girls feel a lot deeper than guys feel.
Mm.
You know, I've heard my wife say that like physically, when she feels for something, her heart hurts at times. I've never felt that. My heart's never hurt for anything.
Mm.
And if it does, I'd probably be thinking I'd have a heart attack and I'd go into the hospital.
Hospital.
But girls feel a lot deeper than guys. And this is really the big thing, that we were talking about in our Connect group. Even though you might not understand what someone's going through, our job as Christians is to try to comprehend what they're going through. So you might never be able to understand the way that your wife is feeling, but you should try to comprehend it and say, look, even though I don't understand it because I can't feel it, I can try to comprehend why you feel that way based on this situation. And so this is part of marriage. It's part of understanding that women, you know, don't want someone to come in and try to fix their problems all the time. You know, your wife is at a place where she really just wants you to hear her and listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
And not come to a place where you understand it. But one of the best ways to do this I found in marriage is an exercise that they'll teach you in counseling called the mirroring exercise. And that would be if your wife comes to you and she says, man, you know, I'm just so sad because I feel like you're not there when I need you and you're not. And she says all these things. What you do in response is you say, so what I hear you saying is that you're feeling depressed because you feel like when you need me there, I'm not there because I'm at work or I'm doing something else, and you wish that I would be there more often to hear you out or something like that. So basically you're repeating what she said in a different way.
Just don't do it in like a mockery tone, like,
exactly.
Oh, I don't, I'm not here for you.
Exactly, yeah.
What no. I hear you saying, Weiner, is...
Yeah, so what you're trying to do is just show her that you hear right. her.
Because that's huge for guys.
Yeah.
Honestly, mm-hmm. just that in and of itself. Putting my cell phone down, I have recently decided, and it's not even recently, man, when I get home, the cell phone goes upstairs. It's like, if it's a dire emergency, I might go check and see, oh, okay, is this work? Is this necessary? Okay, cool. But for the most part, my phone is plugged in upstairs away because I know me and I'm constantly distracted by that thing. So when I'm home, this is Chrissy's time. I need to pay attention because chances are if I'm staring at the television and she's pouring out how crappy of a day she's had, 5 minutes later, I'm like, so how was your day?
Yeah.
And that just pisses them off, I've found.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And here's the truth. Girls are genuinely, and again, this isn't, you know, girls do this and guys do this. This is genuinely the fact, the truth.
Yeah.
Girls are emotional, and girls are more emotional than guys. Guys are very rational, and it's very easy for guys to see pain that a girl is going through or pain that anyone is going through, and our response is, that's stupid.
Let's fix it.
Why do you feel that way?
Right. Why,
like, that
why
doesn't make sense. That's irrational.
Yes. Right.
That's a guy's response. But guess what? Emotion isn't rational. It's not meant to be rational. Emotion is irrational. And so, you know, when you're working through emotions with somebody, the last thing they need to hear is why that's irrational, or they don't need to hear the rational response to that. Again, even in the same way that when someone's feeling pain, they don't need to hear from a Christian, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. It's not what they need to hear.
Right.
You know, sure, is that the rational response? Yeah, but that's not how emotion makes you feel.
Yeah.
And so, the best thing to do is just to listen, is to hear, and realize at the same time, a lot of times, even if you did it unintentionally, the reason that wives feel pain is because guys did something stupid. You know, I this is what we were talking about in our Connect group, is that guys oftentimes hurt unintentionally because we're just dumb.
Yeah.
And then girls are smart and calculated and do like ninja spears to hurt. They're like, I feel hurt because you did something stupid, hurt me, and now I know exactly what to say to make you feel terrible about yourself.
Or how to hold out in certain areas of your relationship.
Oh, you went there.
He did. Whatever. Yeah. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live, bro. It's true, though. You're right. They are calculated, and they're just like little assassins. I call Chrissy Electra all the time.
Electra.
She's just an assassin, man.
It's like, it's so funny. I'll do something dumb, and I didn't realize it. And I'll come into the room, and my wife will be crying. I'm like, what's wrong?
Oh,
like,
man.
What happened? And then she'll be like, you don't know? Like, you know, and so, and then it's one of those things, this is just part of marriage. And I can tell that this guy probably hasn't been married for very long.
Yeah.
Because you learn how to navigate that. Again, when I was first married, we were terrible at these conversations. I was bad at listening, and she would tell me how she felt, and I'd tell her why that wasn't biblical and why she needed to get her emotions under control.
Dude,
that's a bad decision.
Right.
You know, again, your wife is the Bible even says that they're a weaker vessel, and you need to esteem them. You need to lift them up, and you need to try to make them feel heard, make them feel validated in the way that they're feeling. And they don't need to hear in that moment why the way that they're feeling is wrong. They need to hear in that moment that you love them, that you care for them, and that no matter how they feel, that you're there for them. And I find that when my wife's going through something, if I tell her that, if I say, honey, I love you so much, you know that I'm here for you, you know that I care for you, and if I just sit there, and what I call those moments is awkward moments, because inevitably, what you want to do, if you're sitting there with somebody for an hour, is talk to them about the way they're feeling.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not what they want. Sometimes they just want you to hug them and let them know you love them.
Cuddle
and let them know you're there for them.
Yeah.
And so that's what they need by and large, is that more than you sitting there and talking to them about, you know, why they feel that way and how they can change the way they feel. That's not what they need.
You know what the funny thing is? I just said something as a pseudo joke, but it really actually ties into something we talked about for Valentine's Day this morning.
We did.
And I think it really speaks to the differences between a male and a female. In Portland, Oregon, for Valentine's Day this weekend, there's this divorcee who, she's in her 40s, and saw, you know, the free hug sign online and said, oh, I can offer free hugs. I can totally do that. Makes this lucrative business out of it. And coming up this weekend in Portland, Oregon, there is actually kind of like Comic-Con or any of those conventions. It's seriously called CuddleCon, what is, and it's this platonic con, literally, where you go to, you know, this convention center thing, and it's seriously like, oh, free cuddles, but platonic. Nothing weird. Sometimes you just need a hug. And chicks are doing that in droves, and dudes are thinking, oh, yeah, I know what's going down. Not going down. Girls just want to hug sometimes.
Is that weird? You get all these creepy dudes from Comic Con across the street. They come over like, Cuddle Con.
Cuddle Con. Hey, what's up? And the ladies are like, no, weirdo, I just need a hug. Sometimes I just need a hug.
Get your lightsaber out of here.
But it totally goes to show like where our brains go versus where their brains go, because I immediately was weirded out. Still am.
Cuddle Con.
Cuddle Con. And it's a picture Cuddle of like two strangers like on a couch. Just hugging.
I feel like if anybody, like if I saw an ad on Craigslist where someone was like offering free cuddles, I would immediately assume they're a rapist.
Shock therapy lies.
Like that, and I get that this is actually a thing.
Right!
But it's weird.
To me it is too. But maybe it's because we're married. These are all like singles who are just like, I don't have anybody to hug me.
Again, I think part of the reason though why this is such a thing is because of, you know, weird intimacy issues with families and in the breakdown of the families.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you made a point about how, as a man, you know, when Janae talked about her heart hurting, I'm going to be honest, I'm a dude, I've felt that way before, but I believe it's because I was raised by a single mother. I truly believe that. I was raised by a mom.
I felt that way before, and I realized my cholesterol was a little too high, and I had to go on some Lipitor.
I must be the opposite side of the spectrum from you, because that happens to me. But I'm a sensitive, emotional dude.
I grew up with
two sisters, you know.
Right, truly.
And my family, we talked about last week, we've always been super affectionate and all that stuff. So I get that. I understand why, especially when you have two sisters and you have to navigate. You know, when you come home from school and there's just like a tension in the air, you know, and then you're like, oh no,
why is
everyone unhappy? You have to figure out what's going on and how to respond appropriately.
Which is good because it prepared you for marriage.
Yeah. And actually we did, when we were doing marriage counseling, our counselor, and I've shared this before, but he had a great way of putting it. He said, most of the time men, usually men, some women are like this, you know, on the opposite side. We approach problems like car engines and we want to fix them. And so with a car engine, you figure out what part is not working and you replace it or or various parts or whatever. But with a garden, you have to weed the garden and weeds never stop. They always grow. And people and our emotions are like weeds. You can't just fix an emotion.
Yeah.
You have to weed the garden and you might spend the rest of your life weeding that emotion.
Oh, you're gonna spend the rest of it.
You know, you will. That's just the way people are, especially more so females than males typically.
Yeah.
You know, but I've got stuff in me that I've still not weeded out and probably won't for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it just, that's part of the, you know, communication that goes on between me and Dawn and all that. But that's always helped me.
I just felt like a large cloud of estrogen just dropped on this room.
And it'll continue.
I don't like it.
It'll continue. I'll tell you how to fix it though. You gotta weed it out.
Facebook.com/mystaticradio. Of course, 505-338-3700. I'm glad we're getting emails like that, though, because, as he said, newlywed. And it's true, a lot of times you go into a marriage believing that it's going to magically repair every problem that you had in your life.
Yep.
I was reading yesterday Matthew 19, and it's clear preparing for a speaking thing I have this week.
This is not the right way to do
focus.
It.
And a lot of it bent towards marriage for that reason. Because, man, oh man, if I could go back and tell myself about a dozen things before I got married, I think, 12 years later, I'd probably have a different picture.
But this is the thing. I think if I would have told myself that kind of stuff, I would have disregarded and be like, nah, that's not how it is.
Lame.
Because I feel like people told me this crap before I got married, and I was just like, yeah, that might be how it was for you but it's going to be different.
Me?
I am the best.
Yeah.
I can do anything.
Man. Absolutely. So
humans are humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, probably. I would have been like, what do you know, me from the future? Truly, if me from the future came back and told me something, you're right, I probably wouldn't listen, because I'd be like, who knows me better than me? That guy doesn't know me. He's had a totally different course of action. This is me right now. I know my brain.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever gone back and visited yourselves in the past?
No.
I have. It's cool.
Yeah?
It's really cool. I love going back to the 80s.
Yeah.
It's a simpler time.
505-338-3700, the phone number.
Hey, about going back in time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is anyone else weirded out how in the Terminator commercial, like, since when did they start manufacturing? Like, when did the robot company decide, they're like, hey, let's make an old man version of this robot?
Yeah, it's kind of strange, huh?
It's gonna make
gray
sense.
Hair.
It
doesn't make sense. How do robots, like,
age? This,
yeah.
Okay, hold
how
on.
Do they age?
Hold on. Hold on. Okay.
Let's hear it.
This is what just happened. Hey, I got a question. Teo, in that movie that's about the future where they send robots back in time that's totally plausible and normal and rational and realistic,
right?
Why is there an old robot?
Well, let me explain that to you.
I mean, everything else about this movie makes so much sense. But this one aspect, gray hair, what's that about?
I'll tell you
what. It would almost be like Ford deciding to start manufacturing the Pinto. They're like, hey, we've got all these nice versions of cars.
Yeah.
Hey, let's just reinvent and make the Pinto again.
Classic Pinto. Same parts from the
70s. Exactly. Same parts.
Here's what maybe it's that.
It's like the robot company is like, hey, this current model's too fast and awesome. Let's make a crappier version of it.
I got it. I got it. I haven't read anything about the movie. Here's what it is. The robots can manufacture machines, right? But they haven't perfected the skin or aging process, so they're using actual DNA and biological elements for the robots, and those still degrade and get older. Huh? Because maybe he's been around forever, so he's not a new robot. Maybe he's just been around for Sarah Connor this whole time, and the organisms over his metal body are like disintegrating and aging.
So it's just like anything else, just like a car. Like you buy a car, 20 years later, that car's going to be a little rusty.
It's got rust. Yeah. So he's a little rusty, but maybe the machine underneath,
so
like the engine and stuff, still good.
It's just like robot skin rust.
Yeah. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live, where we actually...
That's what I'm
going to
start calling my wrinkles. Hey, you have wrinkles. No, it's skin rust.
Skin rust, bro.
Skin rust.
Lay
you
off,
understand.
Man.
You understand.
These are...
I feel like I actually just contributed to this show.
You did. You have gray hair. No, that's just paint fade.
Paint fade.
Just
paint
fading
fade,
a little bit. It's been a little bit too... It's been the sun a little
back to Mako and...
I didn't stay in the garage.
505-338...
I didn't condition enough.
3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in through email, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com.
We got good feedback. It's not a question. But it says, listening to you guys now in the car, and as a woman, you guys are spot on and hilarious. Digging your estrogen.
Oh, cool, man.
You're welcome. I think I'm the one that brought
2015.
I brought the estrogen to the equation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
That's good.
It's because I'm having to do all these stupid protein shakes for CrossFit, and my estrogen levels are increasing.
Through the roof.
Soon I'm going to look like that guy in Fight Club. Meatloaf's character. It's going to be interesting.
No, I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
And I was restraining myself from going there.
No, I'm going to come to you for advice, Nate, and for hugs. So be ready.
I'm not giving you cuddles.
I am Robert Paulson.
You go to CuddleCon.
I'm coming to see you.
Nope.
I'm going to set up an appointment with your office. I'm going to come see you.
I'm going to lock my door. I'm definitely going to keep the shades open because I don't trust you.
Oh, man.
I told you didn't trust me.
Oh, 50 Shades of Nate. 505-338-3700. The phone number. That's 505-338-3700.
I don't like where this is going.
We don't know.
Hello.
Please add sanity to this.
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, hey. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Flustered.
Flustered.
So, yeah, it's cool. So I had a question as far as what's your take on, switching churches?
Switching churches?
Yeah, like if you grow up somewhere and you love that place, and that's like your home church, but you're getting, you're growing more as a man, as a Christian, as an individual, somewhere else, that every time you visit or if you hear something and you're just growing a lot more.
Big question.
You're not really getting that from your home church because you don't want to leave there.
You've been there your whole life? Like this is the church you've been? Did you take the blood oath?
Yes.
Oh, snap. No, you're screwed,
I did the ritual, so it's
Did that, you did the blood oath, you guys pulled out the Bowie knife, and like you did the whole like blood pact thing, you're screwed.
You see, you've been there.
It's all in the blood, man. It's all in the blood.
Do you have a real answer to the question, Steve-O?
No, you do, Pastor. I'm the idiot sidekick.
You, no, literally... Literally, I was going to answer it, and Steven went like this. He put his hand, he's like, no, like I got this.
I got this, guys. I got this. I got this.
And so I immediately stopped thinking about an answer to listen to Steve-O's answer, and then he pulled that crap.
Whatever, you do this to me on the daily, bro.
Now, this is, I'll give you at least my take on this. I think that, you know, wherever you get fed is where you should fellowship. And so if you get fed, let's say you grew up in one church, and we've had conversations with this with other people. They're like, you know what? I grew up in a church and I love the people there. I just don't feel like I'm getting fed there. The purpose of church is to get fed and to have fellowship with people who are growing in the same way you're growing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's perfectly fine to switch a church, but if you switch a church, I'd find a church to be committed at. What I don't like and I don't agree with is church hopping.
Yes.
Those people who go to a different church each week. Because what happens is then you can never sink roots and you can never build relationships and you can never get accountability. Because a huge part of church not only is to get fed, but again to have fellowship and have accountability. So you want to, if you're going to switch churches, make the move, get grounded, get rooted, find fellowship and get accountability.
I would say pray before as well, because a lot of times part of the problem with church hoppers is that very reason. Like, I found a church, I'm enjoying it. Oh, sister so-and-so is asking me about my marriage. We got to go, you know, because you don't want that accountability. And and so what is the motivation behind wanting to switch?
But it sounds like the reason you're talking about is getting fed, that you feel like you're getting fed somewhere else. You're finding spiritual growth somewhere else. And if that's the case, I think that's fine. I do think that, you know, I think that it's, you might not go down well. You might get, you know, you might get an earful, but I think it's honorable to do so. Would be to let the pastor know and just say, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm going to another church, and it's not because I don't love you guys. It's just because really felt like I'm getting fed there, and I hope you understand. You're not going to see me around, but it's not because I don't like you guys.
Yeah.
But I think that's just courteous, because I think that especially, you know, if you grew up in a small church, if one person goes missing, the small churches notice. They're like, man, they're gone. What happened? Did they fall away from the Lord? Do they not like us? Do they not agree with us? And so I think it's courteous to at least let the pastor know if you were attending a small church. If you're attending a big church, chances are they're probably not going to notice.
Yeah.
But if you're attending a small church or you're involved in ministries at a big church, you're involved in connect groups or community groups at a big church, let people that you're close to know about your decision and you know, do it as cordially as possible.
There you go.
And what about as far as just volunteering to help out or to be a part of two groups of, as far as, like, you know, when you're on two different Bible studies or something like that? Is that something that's considered church hopping? Or what if you just, you like what you're hearing and you're growing in that area, but you also want to be committed to the church you're already going to, but you also like the series or you like the book series they're on, or, you know?
Yeah, so it's funny. I actually just had a guy at Calvary come up and ask me the same question. He has been going to a small church all his life, and the pastor of this church asked people to become committed and choose a ministry. And so he said, you know, he talked to his wife, and what they were doing is they were attending their church on the weekends, and they were attending Calvary Albuquerque on Saturday nights because they liked getting fed. And so they said, okay, you know what, we're going to serve in this church, this small church. We're going to join the children's ministry. And the pastor heard that they were going to Calvary as well and came to them and said, look, you got to choose us or them. You're not allowed to go to both. And I disagree with that. You know, I think, again, whatever you consider your home church is the church you should serve at, the church you should be plugged into, the church you should be giving to. But if there's another church that you're like, you know what, I like getting fed here and I want to go there for one of the other services a week, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as you're sinking roots into one of them. What I would consider church hopping is somebody who goes to both church. So it's like, you know, I'm going to go to this church this weekend and that church next weekend, and I'm never going to get plugged into either one. I'm never going to sink roots into either one.
Yeah.
I think it's fine to have a home church and decide, you know, I'm going to go to, like, Calvary has a Wednesday night service. I think we have some people who go to Calvary's Wednesday night service that call another church home. That's fine.
Yeah.
As long as you have a home church that you're sinking roots into and you have accountability and you're serving it.
And I fully agree with the idea of tithing where you are fed. That goes all the way back to Malachi, Old Testament style, where it talks about, like, giving into your storehouse, where your storehouse is. And if this is, like, you're storing up in this place that, well, your food is coming from, because obviously we don't have silos out here, barns or anything, so we can't give there. But that's exactly the analogy, if you will. You're getting fed. Get fed somewhere. I'm staring at you and you're freaking me out. Oh, man.
Appreciate it.
I agree. Yeah, man.
Does that help?
Thanks for the call. Nate!
What did I do?
Nothing. You were just intently staring. It was freaking me out. I was like waiting for you to blink. You're never going to blink. Gosh. 505-338-3700. The phone number, that's 505.
Why aren't you looking at him?
338-3700.
That's the soul stare.
I'm glad you said that, though, because you're right. There are definitely places or pastors that adhere to this, like, this is your church. And, I heard that, Legacy is going to be doing, like, a conference this weekend. Oh, you can't do that. Well, I heard that Calvary is going to be rocking this amazing. No, don't go to that. You know, you're at Copper Point. This is your church. You know, or whatever it is. You know, I'm just throwing out the big dogs out there for our city anyways. But I do know places. Now, there's obviously wisdom behind, say, research or learning, because you don't want to just go, oh, I heard about this amazing thing happening down at the pit. This one church is putting it on. Don't happen to know the speakers. They're kind of whack, you know. You don't want to just start going everywhere.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm a big champion of the church, not just as you know, an individual church locally, but I'm a big champion of the church as an entity, as an organization, you know, globally. Yeah. And so I have no issue going and supporting other churches, even when they're here in this city. You know, when Copper Point just recently had their Changing Church Conference, and I went there and I enjoyed it, and I got fed, and it was a great experience.
Yeah.
And so I think that a lot of times, and this is so sad, and we've talked about this before, I think the church becomes very territorial, and it becomes very us and them, when the us should be all Christians gathering together for one purpose, not, you know, this church is fighting that church for attendance or for doing the next greatest thing. I think we should all do what God has called us to do, and we should serve each other as churches instead of fighting each other.
I'm just really glad that you decided to stop peeing on people as they left Renovate.
Yeah.
What?
He's just making stuff up. He's just
marking territory, bro.
This must have.
This is your only college.
This was
ministry.
Before I got here.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was like, dude, Nate, you got this.
Really, what I did is I just put a little bit in the communion.
Oh. So we read a story about a guy peeing in a water reservoir.
He really did in San Francisco. They had to shut this whole thing down.
And he went to jail.
He did go to jail. So bad, bad juju. I'm glad that that has been killed with fire. Yeah.
No, it's not juju. Man. It's TT.
Okay.
Those are different things.
He's from the South.
Just for clarification, I have never peed.
And he never would, people. Nate, you remember
on
I met
anyone?
You.
Nor on have anyone. I peed into anything that people have digested.
That's good.
Oh, man.
I met you a long time ago when Waverly played Renovate. When Renovate was in the El Rey?
Yep. El Rey Theater.
Yeah. Long time ago.
Man, that was way back
I
in
can
the
still
day.
Remember. Back when that music used to make me smile.
Stop it.
505-338-3700.
We probably got time for
music.
One more question.
Yeah, probably. Somebody yeah, we're like, we're kind
I don't
of
know.
Close
we got
at this
like,
point, man.
Yeah. Well, it depends what the question is.
There you go. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. I'm glad that we've been talking about church, though, because obviously one of the raddest series, I think, ever going on right now here at Calvary Albuquerque, the Jesus Loves People series. And it's good because I think it's maybe the question is pertinent because right now, maybe a lot of people just seeing billboards and going, hey, that looks cool. I kind of want to check that out. Because honestly, there's a lot of coolness going on here right now, and I think there's this weird culture of the podcast where it's like, yeah, you know, I don't really have time to like go to church, but I downloaded this podcast and this podcast. I've been guilty of that in the past, man. I know. And there's this idea that, well, as long as I'm getting fed from, you know, Fresh Life in Montana, I've podcast Levi all the time. It's great. But I think there's a danger when that becomes church.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And again, church is supposed to be separate from that. Again, yes, you want to get fed, but you know, one of the main purposes of the entity of the church is for fellowship, is for reproof, is for accountability.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that in your life, you're not really experiencing the Christian life the way it was meant to be lived.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Man, it's been a crazy show today. I like it. I like it. It's, sadly time. Can you believe that? We actually rocked through an entire show.
It's good.
Just like that.
Good times.
We'd like to thank Sony and Marvel for finally deciding to bridge the gap and becoming friends again.
It's true.
It's like the church model, guys. See?
And guys,
if you don't have to just be Marvel, you don't have to just be Sony.
You can be Disney. You can join and just be Disney.
Boom.
On getting your question in, you can email us all week.
Bow to the mouse.
We get them all week, and we can get to them next week.
That's right. Studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com.
If you missed any of this, you're out of luck.
Oh, I was going to say you can download the podcast
at mystaticradio.com.
You said not to download podcasts.
/shocktherapylive. No, they can
still podcast.
You
just said not to.
As long as it's
I'm
not
so
their
confused.
Only means of growing spiritually.
Dude, if all
like
they
I
do
can.
To grow spiritually is listen to Shock Therapy Live,
are
they
screwed.
Are in trouble.
Lots of
not
it.
Good.
Oh, man. Until next week, Steve-O, Nate, Teo.
Peace. I'm not coming back.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.